Babouche, we are back with the THN Answer of the Week, where each week we take a hard look at the question of the week and what you jerks are saying about it. Joe Patrick, before we move on, we need to know what that question was. What do we ask these nerds?
This week's question was, what is your favorite comic book publishing imprint? And what an imprint is like a division, a smaller division within a larger company, like Vertigo.
Now you explain it after we already asked them.
We explained it. But this is for people that are just listening.
We should mention we've got Willie Toots here in studio with us for our third head.
Hello, everybody.
This is his
third head.
His big breakout tryout, THN tryout.
THN we're gonna see debut. How
it goes. If we don't like it, we're going to shoot him in the back of the head, right?
It's that easy.
Just like we shot that f***er, Dave DeMarco.
So, yeah. Vertigo, Wildstorm, Icon, Epic, Top Cow. These are imprints.
They get it.
So.
Let's rap about it.
There's a lot of good ones out there.
There are a lot of good ones out there.
What are these jerks saying? They're not jerks. We love them. What are these sweet listeners saying?
As is our tradition, we'll start with the tweeters. Andrew Merzak says, Dark Horse's Legend imprint probably had the best hit rate. Hellboy, Sin City, etc.
I forgot about Legend as an imprint.
Yeah.
It was a whole thing.
Oh, man.
A lot of sweet stuff came out of there.
Yep.
It's true. He continues, but Epic was bonkers. Mobius, Alien Legion, Gru the Wanderer, etc., etc.
Yeah, tons of huge talent came out of Epic. And I was thinking about using that as my favorite, but I didn't win.
Yeah, I have a little bit more to say about Legend later on.
All right.
Myself.
All right. Super duper. The real Keith Binder, not to be confused with the actual Keith Binder, says, my least favorite comic imprint is the imprint they leave on the environment by using tree carcasses. Hashtag, go full digital, murderers. And
oh, man.
Yeah, Lord knows going full digital doesn't use any electricity.
Yeah, that doesn't like, leave any imprint either.
Zero carbon.
It doesn't use any tree carcasses.
I suppose.
That's all for the tweeters.
But to make the pads.
Yeah, pandas don't care about it. Well, that just hurts Chinese people.
Well, okay.
There's billions of those guys.
Listen, the real Keith Binder is concerned about the whole Earth.
That's sweet of him.
Yeah.
That's good. There's a real Matt Bomb now, too. He does is talk about astrology stuff because people found out how pissed I was about astrology. And so the real Matt Bomb says, oh, tell me your birthday and I'll tell you all about your rising sign.
That's
how to predict
be
the future.
Shayla.
Oh, no, it is. She asked for permission.
All right, moving over to Facebook, we're kicking things off with Ryan Mount, who says something that you'll hear quite a bit.
Okay, first props to Merzak and Mount, because they both hit us with answers every week. Good job, guys.
Good job. Ryan says, I think Vertigo has got to be my favorite. If for nothing else, Why the Last Man may be my favorite comic of all time. There are great titles like Sweet Tooth and New Deadwardians, and now The Wake. However, there is a soft spot in my heart for Wildstorm. When I came back to comics, there were no two comics I looked more forward to than Christos Gage's Stormwatch PhD and Gail Simone's Welcome to Tranquility, which is a title I miss to this day. I thought both of those titles were great.
They were
and
fantastic. PhD was one of the worst named comics, though. It was post-human department or something
division.
Like that.
Post-human division. They were cops.
Yeah.
Props to
they
you,
were
Ryan,
doctors.
For picking the two two Wildstorm books that do not involve shoulder pads and pouches of some kind.
There were still some shoulder pads.
Yeah.
Still a couple pouches, too.
Andrew Morrison writes in saying, I'm only a bumbling comic toddler. 3 years running now.
That's adorable.
But I'll answer with DC's Humanoids Publishing for works by Jodorowsky and Mobius, like the Incal and the Meta Barons, or Marvel's Icon for works by Brubaker like Criminal and Incognito, as well as works by Mark Miller like Kick-Ass and Nemesis.
Am I an idiot? Am I the only one that didn't know that DC owned Humanoids?
DC doesn't own Humanoids. For a while, though, they did own the American publishing rights.
Okay.
Which means for a stretch of time, DC published all the Humanoids books you saw in the United
States. Like Marvel did with Soleil, for example.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Like Marvel did with Soleil.
Got it.
That is a great answer, Andrew. I've not read a bunch of Humanoid stuff, but people rave about it.
I have never read any Humanoids.
I've read a few.
Good stuff?
Yes.
Wooly Toots is a fan.
They do really great, fantasy and weird sci-fi.
Yeah.
It stuff and it's like, super detailed. It looks like it comes out of like Heavy Metal magazine.
Yeah, it seems like really highbrow sci-fi stuff.
Metal Hurlant, is that a human?
That is one. Yeah.
That's like their version.
Elias the Cursed is what I read.
Whoa.
Really good stuff.
Yowza. Philip with an F, whose last name I can't pronounce.
Philippe?
It's three consonants in a row.
What?
Spell it. R-V-M. Rhythm.
Okay.
That might not be his actual last name. It might be a Facebook alias.
It's like his Fast and Furious alias.
But we do know Philip is our number one Israeli fan.
That's right on.
Vertigo and Icon are great, no question, but right now it has to be Skybound with The Walking Dead and Invincible, just to name two.
Okay.
Great answer.
Mm-hmm. Ghosted. That just came out. That was fun.
Was that Skybound?
That was Skybound. Ghosted was Skybound. And what was the other one?
Isn't he sure about that?
Yeah. What was the other one?
Shattered? Was that the Sheltered? Same week? Sheltered?
No, not Sheltered. Older. The one about the doctor.
Witch Doctor.
Witch Doctor. Also Skybound.
Oh, Witch Doctor.
Excellent. I would say all of those. Excellent.
Our friend Orr Williams wrote in with an answer, and I made fun of him for only giving the answer and not an explanation, and then he said he was going to call in, and I don't think he did.
I don't think he did.
So I'm not reading his answer on the air.
Screw you, Orr McWilliams.
Suck it, Orr. Now you know. There are consequences to your
failure. See what happens when you mess with the two-headed nerd, Orr?
Brian Domingos. Vertigo has my drop-dead must-read titles, but I could not live without my Wildstorm collection.
Aww.
I was a Jim Lee addict, X-Men cards into X-Men the comic, and started with Wildcats number 4 off the shelves.
I love all this Wildstorm love.
There was Stormwatch, and The Kindred, and Team 7, and Gen 13, and on and on and on. I remember reading Stormwatch number 37 and saying, who is this Warren Ellis guy? And Change or Die changed my life. I own pretty much every trade they've ever published, minus some Gen 13 stuff, the Gary Frank and Gail Simone eras. You need to get on those. And pre-ordered every issue until it was killed off. I own a Ryan Benjamin page from Grifter number 1. Wow.
Oh, man.
I love Stephen T. Siegel and James Robinson because they wrote Wildstorm Universe comics. I remember reading a Wizard interview of Robinson and being more interested in Wildcats than Starman, though I soon learned to love that, too.
James Robinson's Wildcats was awesome. It was so good.
You can get that in trade, the complete James Robinson
totally
Wildcats.
Great.
I recently bought the Cherished Era Voodoo statue and the old school Grifter statues off of eBay like 2 months ago.
This dude is a way bigger Wildstorm fan than me, and I thought I was a huge Wildstorm fan.
And I have the recently released New 52 Grifter statue as well.
Oh
man, he's all in.
I even had two letters printed in Wildstorm Universe comics.
He's beating me by one.
But I won't tell you which ones.
Son of a bitch is beating me.
The New 52 books weren't good, though Stormwatch is kind of fun. And I'm hoping there's more Wildstorm Universe seeping in. I could honestly talk about this forever.
I believe it.
They did what? Loves Wildstorm.
You come on over. We'll have a beer. We'll talk some Wildstorm.
Man, I didn't know. I don't think I could ever find somebody that loves Wildstorm as much as you.
I know. That's impressive. Kindred started as a miniseries, and then in 2002, there was another short-lived series.
I get it. I don't understand why you're arguing it. He said he was a fan of the Kindred.
I'm just shoving it up your butt. Not his. Specifically yours.
Why? Camarillo Brillo writes in, taking a jab at the joke we used on him last week, saying, I don't like imprints, but I'll call in an answer.
Okay.
Because remember, he's like, well, I didn't watch this movie, but I'll call in.
Oh, yeah, like every time. It's like, yeah.
Not really my thing, but if I had you force my arm behind my back, I would say this crap, you know?
But he did, in fact, call in, and we'll hear from him in a little bit.
All right.
Triple B, a.k.a. Buzzy Brown Brennan, says, oh, geez, this is a hard one. So many good comics from so many imprints, but I'll have to go with Vertigo, Hellblazer, Sweet Tooth, Preacher, Why the Last Man, Animal Man, Sandman, too many to list.
Yeah, it's a safe pick.
I think DC would be a lot better off switching all of the Dark titles to Vertigo, since most of the characters are Vertigo alumni anyway. But since they just brought Constantine over to DC, I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Right.
Smart thinking Triple B. Stephen Kohler says, back in the day when Midnight Nation and Rising Stars were being released, yeah, I would have said Top Cow.
Yeah, man.
Now with American Vampire, Unwritten, and The Wake, I'll go with Vertigo. I love Midnight Nation and Rising Stars.
I do too.
But
those were Joe's comics.
An imprint of an imprint.
Yes.
We're going to give one vote for Joe's comics.
One vote for Joe's. Let's give Top Cow half a vote, then. It was there.
But the reason those books took so long to come out was because they were not paying him or something.
Regardless, I mean, it was there. I'm not going in the soap opera.
Whatever. James Cassingham Randall. So many people answering with Vertigo, so I'm tempted to answer with a different imprint, but who am I kidding? Vertigo continues to put out the highest quality books, far too many to list here, but I have to say that Sweet Tooth is close to perfect.
Yes, and totally agree.
And if you haven't read it, there is a very strong chance that you are a dickhead.
True enough. Oh, man. True enough.
That makes me a dickhead.
I've read Sweet Tooth.
You're not a dickhead.
Have you read Sweet Tooth?
I read Sweet Tooth.
I'm a total dickhead.
Oh, Wooly Toots. Dickhead.
There's the dickhead in the room.
There's always one.
Jim Stafford. He said, I'll try to Skype in again because I got online and told everybody it was fixed. But I think Skype f***ed us again.
Jesus.
They did.
They did. I'm sorry, Jim. It's nothing personal. We like you.
It pretended like it was fixed. It even picked up for every call.
I don't know.
But it wasn't saving any recordings.
I don't know.
Jim.
It's fickle.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned, buddy. Jeff Lawler.
Who is he related to Jerry Lawler?
Oh, man.
I don't think so. Jeff, I believe, is a welcome aboard. He is one of the lovely and talented customers of Legend Comics and Coffee.
Huh. Welcome aboard, Jeff.
I'm going to have to chime in with Vertigo as well. I love Why the Last Man, Punk Rock Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
I'm currently reading in trade.
Oh, my God, it's good.
Sandman, Joe the Barbarian, and a lot more than I can't think of off the top of my head. I've loved almost every Vertigo title I've ever read and always look forward to picking one up.
There's a bunch that I didn't love.
Well, but here's the thing with Vertigo now. Their output is much smaller than it was like through the 90s.
Yeah.
And they put out a lot of stinkers.
They do.
But, yeah, it's a good time to enjoy
Vertigo. It can't all be great. If it was all great, we wouldn't know what was good. Right?
Right.
Amy Kohler writes in saying, I'm going to have to say Boom, and I think she means Kaboom, the kids imprint at Boom. They aren't afraid to tackle those all-ages books where death and destruction are... interesting. Let me read that again. I'm sorry.
Deal.
The sentences kind of bled together.
Okay.
Amy Kohler writes in saying, I'm going to have to say Kaboom from Boom Studios. They aren't afraid to tackle those all-ages books. While death and destruction are interesting, it's nice to have something different for a change.
Sure.
Kaboom puts out great books.
Yeah, they really do.
All the Adventure Time stuff.
Mad props to them.
Yeah, totally fun. We are on board with
regular show. Regular That's show fun.
Now, yeah.
Right. I'm gaining more and more appreciation for regular show.
Oh, I just love it.
Every day.
I love it.
There was a regular show marathon all weekend this weekend, and I watched maybe too many episodes. I'm
pretty sure I've seen them all. I love it.
Yeah, it could be. Amy, if we haven't said it already, welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard, Amy. Female listener number 9, I think, if my count stays correct.
Right.
We have 9 of them.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and there's every chance that
and if there's more, correct. Raise your hands, ladies. Let us know. Call in. Shoot us a message, whatever.
Whatever. John Luttrell from Burnt Wiener says...
Oh, boy.
I promise to call in next week, you guys.
Oh,
I
sure.
Promise.
Sure.
I can't even say anything other than Vertigo, but others like Wildstorm and Epic are close seconds. Epic has nowhere near the library of those two, but it puts out quality books at a fair price. And would get on the list for Criminal alone. Wait a minute.
Time out.
You're talking about Icon, John.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Rookie move.
Come on. Epic, the home of Steel Grip Starkey. Come on.
Maybe he did it on purpose to throw you off.
Maybe he did.
Fish Police on Epic? I don't remember.
No, Police was an indie book.
Oh, that's right.
Elf Quest came out from Epic, right?
That's true.
Gru the Wanderer came out from Epic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He also asks, can we technically call Archaea an imprint now? If so, throw them on the list.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
I think you can. Gregory Litchfield. I've always been more of a science fiction fan than a horror or fantasy fan, so I'd have to say DC's Helix imprint from the late 90s was my favorite.
Fish Wrap Productions did a Fish Police, by the way. It's Fish Wrap.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it only lasted 2 years, 1996 to 1998, and published 14 titles, but I read and enjoyed nearly every one of them. The best of them was definitely Transmetropolitan, which eventually continued being published under the Vertigo imprint. But there were several other excellent titles as well. Tim Truman's Black Lamb, Ennis and Ezquerra's Bloody Mary, and Gibbons and McKee's The Dome, Ground Zero.
I don't think I read any of those.
Which, he says, at the time was an innovative combination of painting and computer graphics. I was aware of them. Like, I remember seeing ads for them and seeing them on the racks.
Yeah,
but
I remember
the only
that.
One I ever read was Transmet.
Fair enough.
Some lesser-known writer-artist tandems produced some really innovative titles that I enjoyed. Brain Banks by Elaine Lee and J.T. Miner was
okay, I read that.
It's says it was a future spy story that featured a female operative with telekinetic abilities. Gemini Blood by Christopher Hines and T.L. Edwards was a continuation of Hines's Paratwa novels. I don't know what
okay,
those are.
I'm going to admit, I wasn't listening when you started because I was looking up Boris the Bear because I couldn't remember where he was. Helix, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, Helix. I remember now. Got it.
Welcome to the show.
I'm back on board.
God. Dead Core, also written by Christopher Hines and beautifully illustrated by Steve Pugh. Or is it Pugh?
I think it's Pugh.
Dead Core was a realistic take on reanimated humans working in an isolated police station in the near future.
Whoa.
Time Breakers by Rachel Pollack and Chris Weston was an exciting series about two groups of opposing time travelers who work to prevent the destruction of time itself by creating slash destroying time paradoxes.
Kick-ass art by Chris Weston.
I do love Chris Weston.
Yes.
These titles were some of the most innovative science fiction comics produced under one imprint in such a short period of time, but unfortunately, it was ahead of its time because most of these titles were canceled even before the imprint was discontinued. Deep cut. Helix. I remember. Mm-hmm. I remember. All I remember about Helix, other than it had a handful of titles and only one of them survived.
What was one that survived?
Transmetropolitan.
Oh, Transmetropolitan spun out of it.
I remember that it was originally going to be called Matrix. And
whoops,
a certain movie came out right around that same time, and there were huge full-page ads.
Oh, you mean Equilibrium?
No, Equilibrium makes you forget the Matrix.
I loved Equilibrium. Yeah. By the way.
There were huge full-page ads in all the comics that were like a no smoking sign through the Matrix logo and the new logo, like now called Helix. Don't forget, ask for Helix comics, not the Matrix. Definitely not the Matrix.
We have nothing to do with that.
It was very funny. Great answer, Greg. Bob Osland writes in with, I enjoyed the Marvel Knights line for a while with stories centered more around the street level Marvel heroes.
Okay.
I'm still confused as hell though if these were considered in continuity or not. Bob, wonder no more. Marvel Knights was in continuity. Even Marvel Knights, the team book that Matt loves so much, starring
oh god,
Punisher and Moon Knight, and
so dumb. Electro was there,
and you licked the troll in his cell phone.
God, making calls.
And finally, David Brown writes in saying, "My first instinct was to say Vertigo, having enjoyed so much from them over the years. But thinking back to reading Swamp Thing, Shade, Animal Man, Doom Patrol, etc., at the time of Vertigo's formation, they were already." My favorite books without Vertigo. Yes, they all did predate Vertigo, or most of them did.
That's true.
Overall, I think something was lost when they became their own thing instead of a weird corner of the DC universe. Which does not mean I like what they're doing now with grabbing Constantine back and canceling Hellblazer. And not to take away from all the amazing series like Why that were never anything to do with the DCU. So, I'm going to say the Library of American Comics, part of IDW. They do amazing hardcover reprints of classic comic strips such as Rip Kirby, Flash Gordon, Dick Tracy, Terry and the Pirates, etc. And also some rarities like King Aru I'd never heard of but are great. I can't get enough of those books.
They're beautiful.
That is a wonderful answer.
It's a fantastic answer, and those books are beautiful. Like, I almost bought the Little Nemo in Slumberland one because it yeah. looked so damn cool. I'm never going to read that. I will never read it, you know?
Now, some of those are, you know, there are a lot of fancy hardcover reproductions, and they're not all by the same company.
Yeah.
So, like, the Peanuts reproductions are by Fantagraphics. So, mm-hmm. But those are beautiful, well-made books. Really great.
Yeah.
I also really love his point about Vertigo, where books that he loved predated the Vertigo brand, and at that time, they were all in the DCU, so you might have the Justice League International pop up in Sandman for two panels, and it's really weird, and you don't know what to think about it, because it's drawn by Sam Keith, and it's creepy and gross.
Yeah.
Great answer, David.
Let's move over to the Ziggurat Direct Line, where you can reach us at 402-819-4894. And the phone actually rings, and it pisses off my dogs every time. It's a first-time caller, Buddy West, calling in with his answer.
Hey, Joe and Matt. This is Buddy West. First time calling, first time responding to anything you guys do. Love you guys. Podcast is awesome. That's enough. I'm putting steam up your guys' butt. Don't you get too big for your britches now. This is respond to the question of the week. Who's your favorite publishing imprint? If you were to ask me, probably like 15 years ago, and probably not 15, maybe 10, probably Top Cow, because I was a horny teen, and Fathom and Witchblade was all the rage to me, and I loved Michael Turner's art. May he rest in peace. But now that I'm older, I'm 28, and I try to find things that I know will stay with me for a little longer, it'd totally be Vertigo. And the reason I even know about these comics are because of you guys. But I love Animal Man and Hellblazer and Fables and Preacher and Why the Last Man. They're so good. And these type of comics, I think, are always going to be in my life. So I'd have to go Vertigo, hands down. But, you know, those lonely nights, I might pick up a Fathom. And also, thank you very much for mentioning Mouse Guard to me. I have never heard of it until recently. I started getting back into comics about a few years ago. And it's an awesome comic, and especially with two little girls. My daughters, I'm gonna make sure they read it, because that's one thing I want them to hopefully like, are comics. But who knows, they may hate them. So. But definitely Vertigo. So, thank you, guys. All right.
Good answer.
You're welcome.
Great and answer. Thank you for the first time call. And
I'm sorry.
You're welcome for Mouse Guard, and David Peterson thanks you. It's an excellent book.
Yeah.
It's an so excellent great. Book.
Yeah. Buddy West, welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard, Buddy West. You better call next week or we're gonna mercilessly make fun of you.
I love that he's going to pimp the book on his daughters.
Moving right along, our boy Camarillo Brillo calls in, and this time the Google transcript got his name right.
Just the first name.
I don't know how. Just the first name.
Hello, two-headed nerds. This is Camarillo Brillo calling with my answer to the question of the week. The question this week, I believe, was, what is your favorite comic imprint? Mine would have to be, favorite is tough, but one of the ones that I think I enjoyed the most was Epic Comics from 1980s. Imprint of Marvel Comics. A lot of things I collected and really dug right when I started feeling like I was getting taste in comics and not just liking the usual suspects. We're all on that imprint. One of the first superhero type comics I read that I felt had a more adult feel to it was the Silver Surfer Parable that Mobius drew and Stan Lee wrote. It was amazing, and still to this day is one of my favorite comic books. I try to read it every once in a while just to kind of remind myself how much I like it. And along with that, one I mentioned on an answer of the week several questions ago was Stray Toasters from Bill Benkowitz. Did I say it right this time? Anyway, that was really bizarre. No. And it wouldn't really have a place in Marvel itself, but was epic. They kind of let them spread their wings a little bit and do some goofy stuff. It was sort of a Vertigo before there was a Vertigo, but it didn't have like this overarching manifesto like Vertigo seemed to have at the beginning, that it had to be kind of dark and a little more gritty and so on. They did a little bit of everything. There was a really good space swashbuckling that I can't think. I think Jim Starlin wrote it.
Dreadstar.
I really liked it a lot. It brought Akira over here before manga was really available for right those on. Of us that didn't have like fan translated things from comic conventions. And Gru the Wanderer, of course, one of my favorite comics, was available on there. And one I think that Matt's mentioned before that we kind of have in common that we like, and it's Alien Legion. Just an amazing science fiction comic book that really was hard-hitting, not so much because it tackled like deep issues, but because when people died, they died, and it just the hopelessness of war, plus it was crazy aliens and science fiction. It was just an incredible thing to read. But anyway, I don't have any good adjectives this week. I'm sorry. My brain is off. I'm on vacation, but I wanted to chime in. Epic Comics, Marvel, thank you much. Bye.
Calling in from vacation. What a guy.
I love it.
What a guy.
Camarillo Brillo, he's the real thing.
And he's right. Alien Legion was the first place that like I read characters die and never come back. Characters that you liked. It was like, don't get attached to anybody. They would just murder people. Yeah. Man, I loved it.
Epic, for me, I would have said epic if something else hadn't come along in my older life that changed my answer. But Epic, all those titles he mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
I was the same, but I also loved The Sisterhood of Steel, The Black Dragon, and Marvel Fanfare.
What the hell was a Sisterhood of Steel?
It was a limited series. I want to say it's maybe 6 or 8 issues. And
8 issues.
Yeah, yeah. It was man, I think it was the first time I saw boobs in a comic.
Christy Marks.
And
creator of Gem.
Oh man. And
Marvel Birth of
Fanfare, man. That book was great.
Marvel Fanfare was epic, huh?
Yeah.
Yes. Hmm.
Started that way. I think it moved back to...
There are multiple volumes of Marvel
Actually,
Fanfare.
Actually, and Marvel Fanfare may have covered just like both. It may have had a little bit of both in it.
Well, there were multiple volumes, yeah. So it could be that one was epic and the other one
but
wasn't.
But I remember when it like had no advertisements in it.
Yeah.
I mean, solid, awesome. Solid, awesome comic.
Well, and the list just goes on and on, too. I mean, like, Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, which I loved.
Oh, yeah.
All the Clive Barker stuff, the Nightbreed stuff, the Hellraiser stuff that he did for Epic. It was so good. I'm trying to think. There's so many of them. I'm trying to look here. Dreadstar, which he mentioned. Elektra Assassin by Frank Miller.
Oh, man.
And Bill Sienkiewicz. Oh.
Sienkiewicz, Camarillo.
ElfQuest, which you friggin' love.
Yeah, man. I loved a lot of that
stuff.
You'll
get it next time.
I never got the ElfQuest. It just never did it for me. I don't know. Law Dog. I loved Law Dog. That book was tough as nails, man. But yeah, and the Mobius stuff they did there, Blueberry, Lieutenant Blueberry, Marshall Blueberry.
Charles Vest did a lot of stuff for Epic.
Vest did a ton of stuff for him. Epic was really impressive. Go to the Epic wiki page and just look at this list. It'll blow your mind. But let's move on. We got a short one here. It's from Sean X. This week, they named him John X.
Hey, nerds. Sean X with my answer. The question of the week. Favorite imprint? I'd have to say the one I leave in John Littrell's mom's bed. No, I would have to say there's been a lot of good comic book imprints out there. This one is fairly new and won't be a surprise to anybody that knows me. I'd have to go Skybound. I'm the biggest Kirkman whore there is. I've loved pretty much everything he's done. He wrote some of the best Ultimate X-Men, in my opinion. The book was fantastic until he left. And then there was, of course, You're Invincible, You're Walking Dead. The stuff he does on with Thieves. But then that's not even including, I haven't read Witch Doctor, but I've heard great things about it. So I just think that's a great imprint, a great company, and all my favorite books. Something there. And don't forget Super Dinosaur. Fantastic. I missed that book. All right. Great question. See you guys next week. Peace.
The end of the transcript says, see you guys next week. Bruce.
Bruce.
Bruce. Skybound's a real solid answer, too. I was going to say they're 4 for 4, but he's right. They're 5 for 5. I forgot about Super Dinosaur.
And the Astounding Wolfman.
Oh, yeah. They're 6 for 6.
Which is awesome.
I love the Astounding Wolfman.
Yes.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Was Britt under that, or, well, that was before?
Britt kind of came over.
Britt is a Kirkman character, but in reality, Skybound wasn't a named entity until, like, 2 years ago.
Right. Okay.
So, but if you want to, like, retroactively go back and say everything Kirkman created that's part of his little corner of Image, then Kirk-verse. I would include Britt in that. I love Britt.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Let's get to us. Wooly Toots, you being our special guest.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's it.
All right.
So we got. We need more of you guys to call. 3? Kind of pathetic. Just saying. And I would love a lady caller. One lady caller. That'd be excellent.
Princess Ashley?
Princess Ashley, call.
Get
us.
On it.
Wooly Toots, you're a guest in the studio. Why don't you start us off? Tell us all about Shadowline and Image.
Right.
Jim Valentino's Shadowline.
Bob Queen.
Hey, man, those...
Hey, don't forget about Shadowhawk.
Right, man. Those die-cut covers embossed.
It was
awesome.
Really something.
No. Okay, so someone earlier mentioned Legend under Dark Horse.
Okay.
But Legend, that imprint landed, only lasted like 2 months.
Maybe.
Like it was super, super short. But
maybe a year at the most.
It evolved into Maverick, which lasted from like 99 to 2002.
Yes, this is familiar.
Maverick. Mm-hmm. And so they took all of the it was all the big guys. Frank Miller, Paul Chadwick, Stan Sakai.
Yes.
Mike Mignola.
Yes.
Mike Allred.
It was basically all the guys that owned their stuff that came in
and they wanted to push the fact that, hey, Dark Horse supports creator-owned books.
Yeah.
So they created Maverick, and then everybody that did a book got to design their own little horse head logo.
Yes, yeah, I remember. Totally great. Sergio Aragonés had one.
To push forward the individuality they were trying to get across.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And like so many, those books are like my top books by some of those creators nowadays, so that would have to be it for me.
Maverick. Okay.
A great answer.
Joe Patrick?
You go first.
You want me to go first? Mine's Wildstorm. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. If there's some
fucking guy
that I remember reading like as a kid that just blew my mind, like anymore, a lot of it is forgetful. I'm not going to lie. But I did love the Warren Ellis stuff, the Alan Moore Wildcat stuff, the Joe Casey Wildcat stuff. There was some, you had to dig a little bit, but there was some great stuff in there. And they kind of, I mean, the tone of superhero books had changed already. You know, they were way past the Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen. And so everything was already kind of mean and nasty. But instead of being mean and nasty just for the sake of being mean and nasty, Warren Ellis and Alan Moore both came in and introduced really interesting plot lines, really interesting anti-heroes. They weren't just like Spawn, for example, who was like, oh, I'm an anti-hero because I'm so upset. You know, like, there was like really interesting stuff going on. Tao, to this day, one of my favorite characters ever created. I loved that character because he was so interesting. And then the stuff they did with Sleeper, Holden Carver, Ed Brubaker and Sean
Phillips.
Why can't I say it? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And really a story that probably couldn't have been told anywhere else. It wouldn't have worked at Marvel. It wouldn't have worked at DC. It wouldn't have even worked at Vertigo. But it worked because they had this loose-knit group of superheroes where I think Jim Lee just turned to people and said, look, the image model has kind of come and gone, and we figured out that artists might not be the best writers. Let's get some really interesting teams in here to just sort of push the boundaries. And they really did. Change or Die was amazing. Truly an amazing story at Stormwatch.
What storyline is Change or Die? Is that the one with the Authority?
That was the end of Stormwatch, basically, where it evolved and became...
It's the characters, like, it's the first engineer.
Yes,
and
we meet the Authority in the pages there, like, towards the end of Change or Die.
Well, but they don't call... The Authority is what, like, Jenny Sparks takes the idea and is like...
Right.
Yes.
They had the right idea. We're quitting Stormwatch and we're doing our own
thing. Yeah, more or less. They were saying none of this is working.
It was with the Superman guy that went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The High.
And they basically were introduced...
Sat on his stone throne for 50 years without moving, just thinking.
And they're basically introduced...
And then he's gone and the government is like, oh, what the...
Well, he was going to save the world, and the way to do that was to kill billions of people because there's too many.
Well, you know.
But I mean, it was just it was so well done, and I loved what Wildstorm was. I hate what it became. My answer is Wildstorm.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
I can support it because I was into, man, I love the Wildcats too. Man.
And there was so much other good stuff too. I mean, it wasn't just like the superhero stuff. There was what was the Old West?
I love Team 7.
Desperados
was just amazing, you know. And we got like so much talent that came out of there. John Cassaday came out of Wildstorm. Brett Booth came out of Wildstorm.
Was
the anthology book they did? It was called Wildstorm. Something I can't remember. But it was like anthology book, and I remember the cover so much. It had Deathblow on top of a car.
Oh, yeah, freaking like, Deathblow, man.
And like some barbarian
Jay
came
Lee.
Through, like time slip or something. Like, oh man.
Yeah.
The list of guys that came out of Wildstorm that are still relevant is very, very impressive. And I would argue maybe bigger than any imprint I can think of from the 90s.
Was Desperados a part of Wildstorm proper, or was that an homage comic?
Wildstorm first, and then it became Homage, I believe. But Homage was an imprint of an imprint. Was an imprint of an imprint that came out of Wildstorm.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. Indeed it was.
And it was great too.
But yeah, that imprint gave us Astro City.
Mm-hmm.
Strangers in Paradise.
Yes.
when it briefly he stopped self-publishing and published through Wildstorm.
Yeah, because it was Abstract first, and then it went to Wildstorm.
It was an homage comic, and then it went. He went back to self-publishing. Jeff Smith did the same thing with Bone, but I don't think it was part of
very briefly.
It wasn't part of particular imprint. I think
it was just Image.
Part of Image,
and it was only part of Image for like seven issues or something.
Yeah, it was kind
of
very brief. Yeah, but the fun thing is that they were reprinting the old ones. But that's off topic. I'm sorry.
Yes.
That's how I was able to get those old ones.
Yeah, yeah. They reprinted a bunch. Wildstorm is a good answer, and I like it a lot. I didn't come to Wildstorm until I was way later, though.
Joe Patrick, quit screwing around. What's your favorite imprint?
You may have noticed that I delayed as long as
we do this every week. I chase you around the damn ziggurat, try to get you to answer the question.
Well, normally I have an answer. Like, I might have, you know, multiple answers, but this was a really hard call. And
cry your way through it.
I'm crying my way through it. Don't rush me. There are books that I love from a lot of different imprints, but when all was said and done, I had to settle on Vertigo as my favorite. It seemed like a really safe answer and a really easy answer.
No, it's totally legit.
And that's why I tried hard to come up with a better one. But when you look at all of the things Vertigo has produced, you've got Preacher and Why the Last Man and Transmetropolitan, which is one of my favorite comics of all time.
Sure.
And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And I think that as far as imprints go, they are probably the most successful in my eyes.
By
sheer volume of the truly historical epic work that has come out of there.
And the people that got their start there.
People that got their start
and
there.
Artists that came out of there.
Swamp
I mean,
Thing,
like
Sandman.
I mean, even editors that came out of like Vertigo.
Yeah.
I mean, like, man, some amazing talent came out. Like, we have no Axel Alonso without Vertigo.
Exactly.
I mean, guys like that.
Fables, which I still love.
Oh, yeah.
And the list, because the list goes on, and each new thing they add is another thing to put on the list of all-time greats, like American Vampire and The Wake, which just started, but it so far is amazing. So I have to give it to Vertigo as my favorite imprint of all time.
Let me ask both you guys this. Mine was kind of historical. Jared's was kind of historical. Yours is still running. Are they your current favorite? What's your current favorite right now?
Yeah, Vertigo.
Oh, Vertigo. Current favorite.
Well, I would say Maverick, but it doesn't exist anymore. Okay, but those books still come out.
Current favorite.
So, yeah, I would have to go Vertigo.
Vertigo?
Have to. It's got to be Vertigo, man.
Yeah, it's hard not to say Vertigo for a current one. It's hard not to.
Yeah.
Even though Vertigo has faltered a little bit in recent years, and they've had some struggles.
Here and there.
I still think that, do I enjoy the ongoing titles that they have now, like American Vampire, which is on hiatus, but Fables and books like that, do I enjoy them as much as I enjoy reading, say, Kirkman's Skybound books? Maybe not.
Yeah.
But as an entity, I think Vertigo...
I think Skybound is an awesome answer, though, because they really are. They're like 7 for 7. There isn't anything on that imprint that I would say is not worth your money.
Well,
I bet I could come up with something, but I...
On Skybound? I mean, like, even like Super Dinosaur. Very readable. No, it's for a kid's book.
It's
but
true.
It's no 100 bullets.
I'll give you that. Guys, thanks again for all your responses. We need more callers. Please, please call us. Whenever you want to, you can hit us at 402-819-4894. International callers can try Skype. I don't know what the damn deal is. And as soon as we come up with something better, we'll use it. And if you've got an idea for us, let me know. Because I want to hear from international guys. I want to hear your cute little accents. We will be back this weekend with special guest hosts, Wooly Toots. Joe Patrick is going to San Diego to do a bunch of blow and sleep with movie stars, both male and female. And if he doesn't come home with a whole bunch of introductions for this show, he might be gone permanently. I'm just saying. It's a threat. You've been threatened.
There's no weight in that, Joe.
Look at me quaking. I'm quaking over here in my booties.
Wooly, thanks for guest hosting. We'll see you this weekend as well.
All right.
Good times, guys. Thanks again for all your answers, and we'll see you this Friday for another question of the week. See you guys this weekend with another exciting episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Cast, and thank you for listening. We love you all.